Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Monday edition of The Yard, it's been a long day, been a busy day. Had some personal stuff had to do this afternoon. Got up, wrote a few articles about the SEC Championship soccer team. Bulldogs back in action on Wednesday. We're going to talk a little bit about that in our first segment. Then we're going to spend the rest of the show talking football. No top 10 list today. Not going to recap the game. I don't care to recap the game. You guys don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it, to be honest with you. We're going to talk about it. We're going to kind of give you a state of state today. And I may say some things that may hurt some feelings. And let me look around here and see if I can't find some sympathy for you. Hang on a second. No, there is none to be had here. But we're going to be very honest about some things. Be critical about some things. Try to find some positivity somewhere, which is in short supply these days when it comes to football. But I'm going to give you my honest assessment of where we are, what I think we need to do, and kind of how we got here. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I do. I love them. And I loved them long before they were a sponsor of this show. And I am in there regularly. I love eating Bulldog Burger Company. And one of the main things I love about it is I get more than my money's worth. And in this day and time, in this economy, in this climate in which we live financially, when I can get more than I pay for, it's a great deal. You're going to get a great deal at Bulldog Burger Company. You're going to get a great portion at a great price with great service and a great atmosphere and great locations. And there are three of them. University Drive here in Stark, Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Pick out a great burger that looks good. Maybe you've already done the Bulldog and you say, Steve, I'm ready for the next step, and I agree. Check it out. Experiment a little bit. I think you'll have fun with it. Big proponent of the pimentology, add bacon, and I don't even like pimento and cheese sandwiches, but I love that hamburger. And I think when you add, I mean, you know, if you want to be delicate, maybe don't get the bacon. Maybe don't. But you want to be a manly man, you got to get that bacon. We love bacon here in the South. You know, reminds me of a great story. I'll share with you when we finish the ad. But, you know, Bulldog Burger Company is one of these places, too, where there is consistency in what they do. Right, you know how sometimes you go some places and say, well, it's kind of an off night tonight. Well, you know, not a Bulldog Burger Company. They're always on top of their game. And I encourage you to frequent them whenever you can. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T, what I was talking about, the bacon. Something my dad told me years ago, Freddie Robertson, worked many years at Farmers Home Administration. Think about my dad a lot. I do. Lost my dad when he was 57 years old. I love my dad. He's my best friend when I was an adult. Yeah, he was. And had a lot of wisdom. And that's the thing when you lose a parent, that's the thing you miss the most, is access to all that wisdom, right? Especially with the same-sex parent, right? I mean, it's just, you know, there's some things in life between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. And listen, you know, I there's a daddy's girl in my family too. You know, I love them both equally, but there's one that calls me a little more often when there's a problem than the other. The other one calls mom. Kind of like that with my boys, too, you know. My oldest son calls me for everything. My youngest son calls his mom's first, and then when he can't get it taken care of, he calls me. But it's funny how that works. But my dad told me years ago, he said, son, when you go to work, and you get a job, you got responsibility. You got to be totally committed. Totally committed. And I thought I understood that. And he gave me a euphemism that I've thought about the entire life. My dad, you know, worked for Farmers Home and for over 30 years, 32 years, if memory serves me correct. He worked 2 years after he could have retired. I think he did that for spite. But nevertheless, my dad took a lot of pride in saving the American taxpayers' money. I don't know that my dad could have survived in today's, you know, last maybe 10, 15 years of what we've had in the federal government. But a lot that goes on with that. But he took a lot of pride in that. And yeah, as I told you guys before, he grew up on a dairy farm there off Augusta Road in Ellisville, Mississippi. Had a heart for our farm and families, man, because that's what he came from. But Daddy said, son, you need to be like me when it comes to your commitment to whatever your chosen vocation proves to be. And he goes, I'm like a pig to breakfast. I goes, what do you mean? You're like a pig to breakfast. I didn't know, you know, the pig had a big breakfast. He goes, no, son. You think about this. There are two kinds of people in the workforce. And I guess you could say the same thing for relationships, right? There's a chicken and there's the pig. The chicken is involved in breakfast, but the pig is totally committed to breakfast. Yeah, so there you go. A little Freddie Robertson wisdom there for you on a Monday evening, Tuesday morning, whenever you listen to the show. So here we go. Saturday was embarrassing, right? And I don't say that very often. And I think you guys know me well enough to know I try to be the voice of reason, but sometimes there is no reasoning to be had. And what happened Saturday was an absolute debacle. I think Jeff Lebby would tell you the same. And he said in his post-game press conference on Saturday, we took a step back. A few things I want to say about that. Okay, so Texas A&M, we actually played pretty good defense against A&M other than third down conversions in the first half. But you go look statistically, you know, we were right there with them. And it felt like, okay, maybe we're turning the corner and there's a somewhat vulnerable Arkansas team coming in here. We got a chance to get a win. Listen, I fell for it. I was a believer. I told Jeff Lebby Wednesday night, Coach, we're going to win on Saturday. That's how I felt. And we got destroyed on Saturday. Destroyed in every aspect of the game. Now, here's one thing that I want to talk about this, quote, progress that we've made. And I agree we have made some progress. I don't think it's as much as some of our fans are kind of suggesting. I'm a guy that's played sports and coached sports, watched a lot of sports too, but I can tell you, and when you're the man in the arena or the coach in the dugout, it's a much different dynamic than just kind of sitting at home because, you know, you can get up and go get a snack, go to the restroom whenever you want. You can pause the TV. When you're out there in a high-leverage situation, you got to make decisions. You got to put people in positions and they can make plays for you and hope to go get a win. That's what coaching is. It's not just practice. It's not just making out a lineup. It's managing a game. And, you know, I've had some players in the past, when I coached high school baseball, I had some players in the past be like, you know, hey, coach, you know, I'm hitting 350. I need to hit higher in the order. Well, you know, I'm the guy that kept the stats. You know, my wife kept the book. I'm the one that, you know, went home at night and sat over my plate and entered those stats into the computer program to tabulate everybody's numbers. And sometimes you look at that and say, hey, he's hitting 350. Coach, why isn't he hitting third? Well, I'll tell you why he's not hitting third. He can't hit the breaking ball. And then you go back and look a little deeper into the numbers and say, hey, yeah, he's hitting 350. But many of these hits are when the game has been decided. What does he do when the game is on the line? You know, when it's a tie ball game, we got a runner at second and two outs. Can I count on him to get a hit for me? Well, no, he didn't get the hit. He strikes out. And then we come up in the seventh inning when we're down six runs and two outs in the seventh inning, and all of a sudden he loops a double to left. That hit doesn't matter as much. That hit goes in the book the same way as the other one would have, but it doesn't count as much. It's not a high leverage situation. The game is decided. And there are a lot of guys out there at every level in every brand of sport that can't produce when the game is on the line. I go back to Arizona State. Talked about it on this show, and I recap. And I went to Tempe. I didn't sit in my recliner. I went to Tempe. Covered the game. We're down 3 scores in that ball game. And all of a sudden, we come back. But the game was over. The game's over. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, you know, we got some stuff working. And all of a sudden, you know, the final score is not truly indicative of the game. Not to mention, Arizona State could have scored again right before the end of the ball game, and they end up taking a knee on our side of the field. And so we kind of delude ourselves a little bit and say, if we just hadn't had that bad second quarter, we probably win the game. What a second quarter counts. And how many times have we seen it this year? A team goes up 3 scores, and then we kind of begin a comeback. And then all of a sudden, we get all excited again, and we say, man, if we hadn't gotten so far behind, well, you know, those points count too. The edge comes off. If you've ever played or coached sports, you understand this. And many fans understand it too. It's just human nature. When you're up 3 scores in the second half, you are going to relax. And listen, I give our kids credit for never quitting. But can we make some of these plays when the game matters, when the game is still in question? You know, we had an opportunity, you know, against Arkansas to kind of push ahead in that ball game. And we couldn't do it. I mean, we come out the very first drive, and it's a sack fumble. They go right in and score. And so I want us to kind of put a pin in this talk about progress, okay? Because to quote Herm Edwards, you don't just play the game to play the game. You play the game to win the game. We got to win games. This is not a moral victory league. And we're going to be a little direct about that, okay? I still have a tremendous amount of respect and confidence in Jeff Lebby that he will make the right decisions for this program. We do some very interesting things offensively. And I am somewhat sympathetic to the fact that, by the time they got here, a lot of the prime portal players already had their decisions made, even though many of them had not gone officially into the portal yet. And so you hit the ground running as best you can, and you're playing catch up, trying to put a staff together. And so what did we do in the portal, right? Do you remember what we did in the portal? We're going to go back over this real quickly here. Because there's going to be some names that we felt like we had to have last year. And you'd be like, oh, I forgot about that guy. He hadn't played. And a lot of that, too, is injuries. I'm sympathetic to some of that, too. But we get Montre Miller from West Virginia, a Power 5 transfer. I mean, that's what Joe Q Bulldog wanted him on. Hey, we're getting all these transfers, but where are the Power 5 guys? We get Montre Miller, and he hadn't played. Got a little bit banged up in camp. I don't know the full nature of things. I don't know if he just hadn't worked his way back, but he's not dressing. It's a Power 5 transfer that we've gotten no value from. And again, I don't know all the details around his situation. I'm not being critical of him. I'm just going over the portal hall. We went out and added Trent Hudson late, and the truth of the matter is we didn't really need another receiver. But you get an offensive-minded coach, and Chad Bumpus was on a heater, so it's like, hey, well, let's just roll with it. Well, Trent eventually opts out and decides he's going to redshirt, and he's going to go in the portal. All this discussion early on that he was running first team and never did anything of significance. Davin Booth has come on in recent weeks, and he's kind of been the player we kind of hoped and expected him to be. I still question his vision a little bit. There are times he'll run up the backside of an offensive lineman when there's a hold that we could probably navigate through. There's also not 220-pound linebackers trying to chase me down either, right? So it's easy to sit up here and make the comment. Diego Brumfield, finally healthy. He's actually played pretty well since he's been back. You know, of course, had the big interception against Georgia. Had a couple nice plays over the weekend. Stone Blanton's given us everything he's got. And I do think he's played hard the last month. And, you know, he didn't play a ton at South Carolina. He played some. He had a good game against us. But, you know, Stone is a guy that I think we're getting value from. Is he Bookie Watson? No. Is he Jet Johnson? I don't know if I'm ready to go that far yet either. He's not as productive as those guys, but those guys also had each other. Stone is not playing with the same talent around him that Buki and Jed did. And people forget this. We actually had a pretty good defense last year, especially down the stretch. But, yeah, I think Stone at this point, you would say, is maybe living up to expectations. And I'm not saying, you know, some of our fans, you know, think that everybody that comes in here, especially a kid that grew up Bulldog, ought to be, you know, giving you a five-star effort. You know, the good thing is we got more time with Stone, and I think next year he'll be even better. But I think we're probably getting our value. Of course, Blake Shapen gets hurt. We were super excited. It felt like Blake was good enough to get us to a 500 record. Michael Van Buren might actually be a better pure quarterback. Maybe, right? I think MVB is a little more mobile. I think we'd agree with that.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Not that Blake's a statue back there, but there was some value in Blake. And unfortunately, we lost him in the Florida game. Jacoby Jackson was a guy, I remember when he didn't commit on his visit, there were a lot of experts who said, oh, well, he won't come here, even though he had told us prior to his visit, I'm going to take all my visits and then decide. And that's exactly what he did. Wilkie Denod, remember that? We were excited about that. Former four-star at a high school that went to Auburn, got in a little trouble, and came to Mississippi State and then transferred out after the spring. We talk about defensive line play, right? You know, and listen, I don't know all the details behind Wilkie's situation either. You know, it may have been a good thing for Mississippi State that he left. You know, or it may be a situation where Wilkie had something else going on in his life and just wanted to get away from football. I don't know. But I know that we signed him expecting him to come in here and be a two deeper, and then he never suits up in a regular season game. Kevin Coleman, where would in the world would we be without Kevin Coleman? We're probably going to have to fight like all Hades to keep him because he has proven that he can run with anybody in the country. We're going to do what we can to keep him here. Now, Zachary Haynes, of course, the guy we signed as a punter, he's working as your holder now. We didn't mean that, not that we were expecting a huge thing from him, but he is contributing. Kelly Akari, some people may have hyped him up a little bit more. But Kelly has been good for us. You know, it took him a while to kind of get healthy. But we're getting value out of Kelly Akari. The guy's made some incredible catches. And I think, again, if we get another wide receiver class like this in the portal, you know, and I think Chad Bumpus is doing a good job identifying guys that can play in our league and then convincing them that, hey, this is the place for you. So I don't worry about that. I think our wide receiver room may be the most talented personnel group on the roster from top to bottom. Marlon Martinez, a guy that was a kind of a career backup at LSU. You know, he's played some meaningful downs for State. That offensive line has had some moments, and then in recent weeks, not as much. A&M really got after us a little bit, and you know, we're having to start a true freshman at left tackle, and Luke's going to be a star when it's all said and done. This is a guy playing private school football in the greater Memphis area last year, and now he's having to go head-to-head and face-to-face with some of the top edge rushers in the country, and he'll be better for that process. Suleiman Paka, here we go. Right, this is a guy that David Turner recruited when he was at UTSA. He ends up going to Purdue, and he was a reserve at Purdue, and now he's had, because of injuries along our front, he's having to play starter minutes. And so you don't expect that guy to come in here and just, okay, well, all of a sudden, you know, he's already been on a Power 5 level, you know, at Purdue, and that's kind of a run-first league, too. But, yeah, we're getting some value out of him. He's probably what we expected him to be. We expected him to be, you know, a rotation guy on the two deep in the middle. But he's having to play and in time start against the toughest conference in America. Trey Wright hadn't played. And, you know, there were some people early in the year that were talking about, you know, how great he was looking in camp. And he was just another guy, to be honest with you, and an athletic guy. And, you know, now he's done for the year. You know, it's just – it's not going to work out. You know, so, again, this is a guy – and, again, I think our secondary – I think the pass efficiency numbers against the secondary are a little misleading. Because we're playing a lot of cloud coverage. You know, we're making guys throw it underneath and then going – trying to make a tackle. But, you know, when you're not generating any pass rush – you know, it's just like the interception that Green threw, right? The tip ball that Nick Mitchell picked off. Green had like 6-7 seconds back there. And even when he threw it, nobody was in his face. I mean, how long do you expect these guys to cover? And he said, but Steve, the numbers are the numbers. I get it. I understand that. But it all works together. You know, you get some pressure on a quarterback. You get that errant throw. You get that premature throw. You get that incompletion where a guy has to throw it away. When you sit back there and let him play pitch and catch, eventually they're going to get you because the offensive guy knows where he's going. Cameron Ball's a guy, hadn't played a whole lot. You know, Justin Ball has played a little bit. Of course, Seydou is our primary tight end, and I think that, you know, he's really come on in recent weeks. Of course, he had a little boneheaded decision throwing that ball in the stands. Early in the year, he struggled some with drops. He has been better. McKaylin Pounder is a guy that we signed. You know, we talked, you know, he's a guy that could play up and down the line a little bit. We put him out at left tackle with some mixed results. And so that hasn't worked out quite the way we wanted. And the fact that we're having to put a true freshman out there probably says a little bit about kind of where we are. Ethan Miner, you know, a guy that we got because of a relationship with John Cooper. Right? John Cooper comes here from North Texas, and Ethan Miner follows him here. And we love Ethan. Right? He's not the biggest guy by any stretch of the imagination. He plays hard. Kedrick Bingley-Jones, another guy that David Turner knew from when he recruited him when he was in Florida. And so, again, you start working through here. And, you know, this is just to kind of be fair about it, you know. Montre Miller is a guy that, you know, we just needed to get a DB, and there were a few of them out there. And we chased three of them. This is the one we ended up with. Trent Hudson was the guy that knew Cliff Odom. Davin Booth's the guy we had to go out there and really get, you know, for sure. Diego Brumfield's the guy that comes to Memphis from Matt Barnes. Tom Blanton, of course, a lifelong Bulldog. Blake Shapen, that's when we had to go out there and chase a little bit, but he already had a relationship, knew who Jeff Levy was, that mattered. Jacoby Jackson's the guy that, if I remember correctly, Cody had recruited when he was at Arkansas, I think. You know, Wilkie Denied is a guy that David Turner had recruited at Florida. You know, Kevin Coleman, Bumpus just did a great job here. Everybody in the country wanted this guy. You know, Zach Haynes comes in. He's a, you know, Cliff Odom guy. Kelly Akari, again, that's Bumpus. You don't think Bumpus didn't have a relationship with this guy. You know what I mean? And that, again, that kind of goes back to the whole thing about what a great job Bumpus did in the portal. Is he didn't just go get guys that he knew. He went out and identified players and then recruited them to Mississippi State. And we need more of that. Marlon Martinez, it's another guy that you know, that was highly recruited out of high school. But kind of my point here is we went out and signed guys that we knew really outside of the wide receiver room. You know, we went out. So who were some kids we can get? Because we got to have bodies, right? And we went and got some guys, and some of these guys have been banged up and injured and not really been able to contribute, so we're going to be fair to them. But again, it wasn't a great portal class. You know, we thought, hey, we felt really good about the wide receiver room. And we felt pretty good about the quarterback room. And we didn't get Dylan Gabriel. We got our Oregon now, number one team in the country. And we hoped we would. But my understanding from all this, too, is, you know, when you show up and you're under the gun, you got to go recruit people you know. There's not enough time to build relationships. And again, I keep feel like this is a Chad Bumpus infomercial here. You know, Chad was a guy that looking back, we felt great about his portal recruiting efforts at the time we signed these guys. I feel even better about him now, which gives me even greater hope, you know, for him kind of moving forward into this portal class. You know, he had a great high school recruiting class. You get Stanka and JJ, San Francisco, Mario Craver, a name that everybody knows now, you know, and who knew, right? Mario Craver was set to commit to Mississippi State the weekend we fired Zach Arnett. He loved it so much. That's all part of this whole thing here. But, you know, again, you're going and trying to put this portal class together while you're putting a staff together. And so those coaches did what they've always done. You go back and draw water from wells you're familiar with. And some of those guys have panned out, some haven't. And then you begin to think about, you know, the issues that we have on the defensive line. You think, you know, DeMonte Russell, out. Trevion Williams, out. Poor old Calvin Dinkins, back-to-back years, he gets hurt in the season opener, and he's not back. It's nuts. And so it's not just, you know, a talent issue. It's not just an injury issue. And I thought Levy said it best on Saturday. We have got to put guys in a position to be successful regardless of who is out there. And that's one of the things that kind of bothers me defensively is we never really do anything exotic. Now, granted, I don't know X's and O's on the football field like many of you do. Those that, you know, played and coach at a high level. It's one thing that I'll say. I don't know that you really know a game until you've coached a game, right? Until you have to, like, put a game plan together and evaluate film. And, of course, there's some guys that play football at a high level that have a lot of film study and things like that. You pick up on tendencies. And so there's only so much you can watch on TV. Now, that doesn't stop people from being message board experts. But, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that can talk that talk with you better than I can. I'll admit that. But it's the same pressures, or it appears to be the same pressures week after week. Like we send the four, maybe a delayed Mike blitz. But I don't remember seeing like a corner blitz. I don't remember seeing a lot of zero coverage and us bring six or seven. I don't remember seeing a lot of that. I'm sure there's been some of it. But it's like, we talk about, you know, it's the definition of insanity. Just doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And when you have a wounded defensive front, and we knew before the season that the defensive line was going to be a bit of a liability for us. We knew this. You know, we knew we needed to go get an edge rusher out of the portal. We never got one. And that failure has come home to roost. That's a recruiting failure. You know, Jeff Levy said that back in December. He's like, hey, we need to get an edge. We need to get an edge. And then here we are. We didn't get one. And so you begin to ask yourself, well, you know, would we have been better off taking a lesser player that maybe went somewhere else? And I would argue with you, well, yes. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. But you're not going to be better on the defensive front with an addition by subtraction model. You got to have dudes. And again, I'm somewhat sympathetic to the fact that, hey, we had to put a staff together and kind of, you know, work through these things when many of the better players had already made decisions. But to not get an edge rusher, that's one of those things that we identified as a need and we didn't feel the need. And so you get a failing grade on that. And so I've seen some of you talk about it you know, in the discussions in the Facebook groups, you're like, hey, Steve told us all year the defensive line was going to be probably the weakest unit on the team. And then on top of that, the guys we did bring back have been kind of banged up. And listen, we're not as athletic at linebacker as we need to be. I think Stone Blanton's our best linebacker right now. And I think Stone will tell you he can play better. And again, I've told you, I thought he's played better the last 3 or 4 weeks. But we're not athletic enough at linebacker. You know, we went out and got a bunch of backers. You know, Brandon Jennings, of course, I think has been a really good player for us. And he's not playing a true backer, you know. But Brandon has been a guy that I think has played really well at times. But as far as guys can get out there and fit gaps and make plays in the backfield, we're just not having any of that. And we've gotten a little bit spoiled the last few years with Buki and Jet. I don't think we realized how good they were. You know, we knew the numbers. But now all of a sudden, you know, you lose them both the same year and you got to replace that production. We hadn't been able to do it. That's an important aspect of this. Our problems at linebacker are magnified because we're so bad up front. You can't keep the guards off the Mike linebacker, you know, when you're having to play. I mean, listen, you know, God bless him, man. Kyle McClendon, right? That kid was playing high school football this time last year, and we're asking him to go out there. You know, he's playing starter snaps for us. You know, he flashed some early in the year, but that's asking an awful lot. And he's not Fletcher Cox. It's one thing to have a Chris Jones or a Fletcher Cox, a guy that's, you know, really proven commodity. Kyle McClendon, you know, flipped over and played D-line as a senior in high school. He's still learning the position. And really, in just his second year of playing defensive line, he's having to do it in the most, you know, rugged conference in all of college football. It's almost cruel and unusual punishment what we're asking this kid to do. Yeah, and let's just, you know, kind of call it for what it is. And I think sometimes, you know, we look at this and we think, well, you know, Steve, you know, we got to figure it out. And I agree, we got to figure it out. But it's one of those things, like Corey Clark, right? Do you remember Corey Clark? I mean, he's had to play a lot here as of late. You know, Corey Clark was a guy that was an unsigned junior college player from Northeast Mississippi Community College that came to camp this summer and earned a scholarship and signed for the 2024 class. I mean, let that sink in for a second. A JUCO guy in June that's still available, and we have to go sign him. And now, you know, Corey Clark is having to play important minutes on the Mississippi State defensive front. And those are things you look at and you begin to kind of, you say, you know what, hey, I get it. But the reality of all this is that it is Jeff Labby's responsibility and job to figure it out. And I still believe that he will. And it may not be this year, right? And I know that we're gearing up, getting ready to go in the portal. We're going to be very aggressive. But the reality of that is you know, if we don't change some things up schematically, because one of the concerns that I had with the DC hire in the beginning is, you know, when you coach at Alabama, right, you've got the best of the best when it comes to players. You have depth, right? I mean, you got 4- and 5-star guys on the 3-deep, right? So if a guy goes down, the drop-off between the first-teamer and the second-teamer is not great, right? There's still a lot of natural athletic ability that's there. And so, you know, we used to always joke, you know, if I can go out and pick the top 25 players every year and sign them and you got to play with the leftovers, I'm going to beat you 99 times out of 100. And the time that I don't beat you probably means that I messed it up somewhere. Does that make sense? And so when you've had the best talent in the country at your disposal, when you make a bad play call, there are some guys that can overcome that. You have guys that are athletic enough, intuitive enough, instinctive enough that they can recognize it and they have the athleticism that they can kind of overcome, you know, maybe a bad play call. We don't have that at Mississippi State. Not right now. We have. It's been some time since we've had that, but that's been few and far between. And Corey Clark has played in 6 games. Yeah, again, nothing against Corey Clark. You know, I mean, and grateful to have him, right? Grateful to have him. I don't know who we'd play if we didn't have him. Yeah, but he's played in 6 games, and he's got a tackle. You know, had 1 solo tackle against Florida. But he's having to get out there, and I'm appreciative of his effort. But, you know, Alabama and LSU, Florida, Georgia, they're never in that situation where you're having to sign a guy in June and then you have to get him into camp. And then come October, September, late September, this is a guy that's having to play snaps for you. And I don't know his snap count, but we signed him as a depth piece. And he's having to play in some games pretty close to starter snaps. And those are just things you look at and you say, you know what, you know, Steve, how did we get here? Well, this is how we got there. And some could argue, it's like, you know, hey, we should have done a better job recruiting a defensive line. And that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm not going to make excuses for that. You know, but you start looking at some of the guys that we signed. I mean, you know, Trevion Williams, best defensive player in the state that year. 4-star kid, right? Demonte Russell was a 4-star guy. And had been here a long time, played a lot of football for us. Both those guys were out last week. And that's not to say that those guys have reached their potential. I don't know that they played up to the potential that we expected from them throughout their careers. And Trevion still got some time. He's been banged up the whole time he's been here, it seems. And, of course, Demonte got, you know, missed the year, of course, after that terrible car accident that he and J.P. Purvis were very fortunate to walk away from, you know. But when we talk about those things in the preseason, you know, hey, this is what I see, this is what I hear, and then it kind of rings true in the year. There's a reason for that. It's not just talking for the sake of talking. I actually think our secondary is pretty athletic. But I think the fact that we're having to have them cover and cover and cover and cover and cover because we can't get pass rush, that's, to me, that's the third down failure. When you have third and long or third and medium, and you can't get to the quarterback, you can't force the early throw, you know, that's not always on the secondary. Right? And guys are like, hey, you got a job to do. It's true. But it's so difficult to do that job when you got guys up front that either can't do the job or aren't doing the job. And I love those kids, man. I do. But there's a standard. You know, and this is the thing that I go back to. And we talk about talent all the time. We talk about, you know, hey, Steve, you know, we got a lot of guys out here that, you know, maybe are questionable talents. Maybe. We got some other guys that, you know, maybe are G5 guys that are playing up. And listen, I understand the game has changed. I do. But, guys, Sylvester Crum fielded some pretty good defenses. And Sylvester Crum, and granted it's 20 years ago, but Sylvester Crum and his staff, Ellis Johnson, of course, as a defensive coordinator, they had to put those first couple classes together, you know, under the, you know, the black cloud of an NCAA investigation. Of course, we hadn't won. And more times than not, we're playing with the leftovers. You guys remember Mario Bobo from South Panola that came here? He was a decent player for us. And Titus Brown. Loved Titus Brown. He was the all-SEC freshman and ended up becoming an edge for us. Remember Damon Glanton? Jimmy John certainly does. Yeah, he was a guy, too. You know, out of Mays High School in Atlanta, Georgia, not a lot of people were on him. There's a reason you remember these names, though. Just kind of, you know, Gabe O'Neill. You remember that linebacker room? All that stuff was important, man. again, you start working through all this stuff, and you know, do you think those recruiting classes under Sylvester Croom were great? You know, we go back to the 2003 class, and of course the numbers are kind of skewed a little bit. You know, the 2003 class was the last of the Jackie Sherrill classes, right? Ended up being ranked 13th. Sylvester Croom's first class in 04 there. Do you remember that class again? And again, that's the Gabe O'Neill class. We had to kind of piece that thing together. Guys, we were ranked 54th in the country. 54th. And we didn't really figure recruiting out for a couple years, you know. The next year we ended up being in the top 30. You know, that's the Jesse Bowman class. Remember him? Remember Adron Chambers? Of course, he was a baseball guy. You know, Jamar Chaney was in that class. We loved Jamar. You know, you start Keith Fitzhugh. You know, what a great early get that was, you know, for Mississippi State. You remember, you know, that, you know, Damon Glanton and Keith Fitzhugh would absolutely light you up. Antonio Johnson's a guy that we got out of Mississippi Delta and was a guy that went to the National Football League. You know, I work through these names. And they stand out. Remember, Derek Pegues was part of that group too. You know, it's like you work through all that and you remember, yeah, I remember how hard those kids played. Do you think those guys are more talented than the guys you got now? Honestly? I mean, and think about that for a second. I mean, think about the job that Ellis Johnson and Sylvester Croom did. You know, the 2006 class, just so you guys know, 40th. In the country. That's the Timmy Bailey class. Saw him at airport here recently. Of course, Booby Dixon was in that group too. You know, J.D. Hamilton was in that group, you know. Anthony Johnson, the big interception return against Alabama. You know, you start Rodney Prince. And you go back and look at some of these names, and, you know, it's just like, you know, you had some guys there that came in here with a chip on their shoulder. And did some pretty good things. And they didn't have a lot of talent around them. You know, our big issue back then, you know, was offense. You know, we were trying to run the West Coast offense. You know, people that didn't even know how to run it. It's like, hey, this is what we want to do. This concept looks pretty good. Let's go figure it out and try to run that. But, you know, I go back and, you know, begin to think about, you know, those defenses. You know, the 2003 team. Remember how miserable that was, you know? I'm sure you do. You know, Jackie's last stand there. You know, we get beat by Eli in the pouring down rain. And we come back in 2004. You know, Sylvester Croom's first year. We go 3-8. We beat Tulane. We got beat by Auburn pretty good, 43-14. Of course, we lose to Maine. LSU got us pretty good. Lose to Vanderbilt. Lose to UAB, then we beat Florida, and then we beat Kentucky, and then we had a very competitive game against Alabama, and then we lose to Arkansas by 3, and Ole Miss gets us pretty good. But down the stretch, you know, with a bunch of guys that a lot of teams wanted, and remember, Croom ran so many kids off, we didn't even have a transfer portal. We may as well have had one because he created his own way and pushed a bunch of those kids out. Now you flash back to the 2005 season. You know, you beat Murray State. You lose at Auburn. Pretty good Auburn team that year. You beat Tulane. You lose to number 6 Georgia 23-10. Maybe you've forgotten that, you know. LSU got us, and LSU always seemed to have Croom's number. And then Florida got us pretty good too. Competitive game against Houston. And that's when, you know, Houston was really kind of beginning to take off with Kevin Cobb as a quarterback. We lose to Kentucky by 6. We lose to Alabama 17-0 over in Tuscaloosa. We had a little bit of an excitement there. Apologize for that. But, you know, by and large, I mean, you know, if we beat Ole Miss 35-14 that year. But, you know, I just think to myself, you know, as bad as the Peter Sermon year was in 16, and there was some talent on that team, young talent, and we didn't have a lot of older talent. But, You know, when I think about what Sylvester Croom and Ellis Johnson inherited, and then what they ran off, and what they signed, and what they had to play with, I begin to ask myself, well, why can't we play at that level defensively? Those are things that I really question myself about. Why are we not able to be more competitive defensively? Now, I understand offenses are a lot more sophisticated in the last 20 years, okay? But we had a bunch of kids here that not a lot of other SEC teams wanted. You know, we beat Ole Miss, of course, head-to-head for some kids, in-state kids. But, you know, the out-of-state kids that we signed out of, you know, Alabama or, you know, Georgia, you know, there weren't a lot of those kids that had a lot of Power 5 interest, and certainly not Power 5 offers. But we put those kids together, and, you know, that they basically had to come close to pitching a shutout in order for us to win because we're so bad offensively. You know, we've got some offensive pieces, as we discussed on the show many times. But why is the job so much harder now? Which what I would argue is better talent than we had in 2004 and 5. I mean, am I just speaking out of turn here? I don't think it's all personnel. Now, again, I agree, you can't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. But you also can't keep trotting out there week after week after week and keep running the same things. And again, I don't know the technical stuff as well as you coaches do. And you, some of you high school coaches can say, hey, Steve, there has actually been a dramatic improvement in this. And I haven't seen it. But the reality of that is this. We have got to figure this thing out and be able to play football at a competitive level. Because I really believe, you know, it's all a cumulative effect, right? While they'll never admit it, you're putting so much pressure on the offense, they feel like they have to score every drive. Because if they don't, and we get off sequence and we go down a score, we're not going to be able to get back-to-back stops that enable us to climb back into the ballgame. And while nobody will ever admit that on the record, that exists. It does. You know, we have got to execute better and defensively. You know, and that's another thing, too. I see it all the time. You know, Isaac Smith, leading tackler on the team. Is it a great thing that your safety is a leading tackler? Well, you know, I know enough about football to tell you this. Isaac Smith is a box safety. Well, what's that, Steve? Well, maybe you should go read up on that before you go make your little smarmy comment about, well, it's not a great thing. Guys, the defense is bad enough. But Isaac Smith plays in the box. He's basically a prowler at the linebacker position. It's a much different dynamic. It's not like he's playing in a two-high safety defense, playing Tampa 2 or something, and every tackle he makes is 25 yards down the field. That's not what's happening. You know, and I know when we're losing, everything is terrible. There's not enough ice in the drinks. You know, seats are too hard. You know, I get it. And there's some things that we need to do better as a university with game day management. Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to get started about the sound system and all that stuff again. And it's like, and guys, I'm going to tell you this too. I love y'all to death, but I am so sick of the minutia talk right now. We got much bigger problems than that. Much bigger problems than that. And nothing right now under the sun that involves Mississippi State football is more important than player retention and player acquisition. And you know what? If that means that, you know, you don't get a new seat cushion this year, then that's what it means. If that means that we don't get a fresh coat of paint on the logos this year, then that's what it means. You know, we're not the wealthy program that some people think. They think we can just write a blank check for everything. We can't. We got to be good stewards of our money. That's the reality of life. You know, some people are like, well, you know, I wish we wore this uniform. We can get beat in that uniform just as much as we can the other uniform. It doesn't matter what we wear. It's how we play. I want the interlocking MSU too. But this has become an obsession with some people that you really think that would have changed the outcome of that ballgame Saturday? Well, Steve, you look good. You play good. Well, not when you're not good. Not when you're not coached well. Not when you're not put in a position to win. It doesn't matter what you wear. You can get out there in a pink flamingo tuxedo. We're making a difference. And how many times do we say, I don't care what we wear. I just want us to win. The best branding we have is winning football. We made the decision last year to fire Zach Arnett, and everybody agreed it absolutely had to happen. It absolutely had to happen. And even though we fired him before the end of the year, right, that had to happen too, because nobody was going to be there at that Southern Miss game. Nobody was going to be there for the Egg Bowl. We're like, you know what, I'm not going to continue to invest my entertainment dollar and my mental energy into this if Zach Arnett is still there. And you know what happened? You guys came out. Greg Knox fired everybody up. It was a closer game than the final score indicates, and the crowd came out. And those of you that were there, you weren't there just for Greg Knox. You were there because you love Mississippi State, and you love those players. You love those kids. And you showed up, and you made a difference, right? And it showed those kids, it's like, hey, we know it's not just about a coach. It's about a logo. It's about a university. It's about an institution. It's about the Bulldogs of old. It's the land that we love. And we're going to come out here and support you because you're one of us. You weren't a hired hand. You picked us. And many of you had choices to go somewhere else, but you picked us. And so we're going to respect that and come out and support you. And then we won that, and you said, hey, you know, if we win the Egg Bowl, we're bowl eligible. You turned out again for that one. And it didn't go the way we wanted. But it said a lot about our fan base, right? And so if you don't fire Arnett, you might even lose a Southern Miss game. You guys make a difference. It's true. But that doesn't mean you get to call plays. That doesn't mean you get to go, put the menu together for the concession stand. That's not your role in this process. You know, I'm a firm believer in do your job, right? Everybody has a job to do. We're all in this thing together. And listen, there are some fans that are on different levels than others. That's not to say one's better than the other, but there are some fans that think our administration never does anything wrong. And that's absolutely false. They make a lot of mistakes. They're human beings. And many of them are learning on the go. Not making excuses for them, because there are some things that happen. Like what was it last year? You know, one of the sections didn't get vacuumed out. I mean, those people start cleaning that stadium as soon as we all leave, right? I mean, we're doing media. They're already out there cleaning the stadium. And nobody walked the stadium for a week. That's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. No fan should ever show up at Davis-Wade Stadium or Duty Noble at Humphrey Coliseum and have to step over somebody's trash from last week. That should never happen, ever. That's one of the most basic things we can do. That takes no talent at all. And so, yes, we make some mistakes. And, yes, it makes social media when we do. And I think it's a good thing. You know, listen, there are other times, too, when things get taken care of, there's some people that go to social media for the attention. You know, some people love to hate the Bulldogs, right? Love to hate the administration, no matter who's in the big chair. On the other side of it, there's some other people that think we can't get anything done without them. You know, without them, their ideas, like, oh, you know, how do we even function? They even know how to unlock the door on the Bryan Building in the morning without some of these people. And you know what? You're wrong, too. And so I'm not going to talk about those fans. Those are not the fans that I'm talking about right now. It's kind of like the political spectrum. Everybody on the lunatic fringe on either side is absolutely wrong. No matter how well-intended they may be, they're wrong. But I want to talk to everybody else, okay? The ones that just love Mississippi State. You know what, Steve? I'm true maroon. Are you? Remember that campaign? You know, I'm going to be there for the Bulldogs. I'm going to give to the Bulldog Club if I can. I'm going to give to NIL if I can. I'm going to buy my kids cowbells for Christmas when I can. I'm going to ask for new Mississippi State gear on my Santa Claus list because I deserve it and I love it. I'm going to be there at the Humphrey Coliseum to cheer when Josh Hubbard knocks down a three to beat Kentucky. I'm going to be there at Duty Noble Field when Hunter Hines hits a walk-off home run to win an SEC series. Steve, I'm going to be there. And if I can't be there, I'll be cheering from home because I love Mississippi State. And I don't buy into all this noise. I just want to enjoy Mississippi State athletics. I don't want to get bogged down in the politics of Mississippi State sports. I just want to enjoy the games. I just want to be able to come back to my alma mater and see my friends, ring my cowbell, and cheer for the Bulldogs. That's what I want to do. And that's the majority of our fan base. And at times, that's a very silent majority. And they get shouted down by the people at the polar extremes. And all those people love Mississippi State. Even the ones that are incredibly negative on social media. It comes from a good place. They just don't know how to voice that frustration. And on the other side of it, there are other people out there. I'm just a blind loyalist, man. I mean, no matter what happens, I'm not going to question anything. I'm just going to keep paying my money. Maybe we need some people like that. But the reality of it is this. Sports is supposed to be fun. And we're not having a lot of fun on the football field right now. We're not. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, you know what, Steve? I don't know what the deal is with defense either. I couldn't break down, a defense. I couldn't even sketch out a 4-3 alignment. I don't know the difference between a free safety and a strong safety. I just know that we're giving up too many points. And I want it fixed. And it's okay to say that. And there's some people out there to say, oh, don't ever be critical. Guys, this dialogue is productive. Because here's the thing. You and I are always going to be here. And there may be times that our loyalty is tested, but we're always going to be here. Coaches are going to come and go. Administrators are going to come and go. Faculty members are going to come and go. And those that continue to sell their tickets to opposing fans, I hope you go sooner rather than later. And don't bother messaging me about it because you're never going to change my mind, ever. Those tickets should be non-transferable. That's how we fix that. You buy the ticket at the discount, then they're your tickets. Period. But we're going to be here. Many of us were born into this. Some of you chose this. I had a young man last night told me he grew up an Ole Miss fan his entire life until it was time to go to college. And he came and took a campus visit to Mississippi State. And it wasn't like it had been described to him at any point in his life. And he fell in love with the place. And after being here for a year, he goes, you know what? I think I was an Ole Miss fan just because of the fact that my parents were. I love Mississippi State. He's not an Ole Miss hater, but he loves Mississippi State. Raised in an Ole Miss family. And it's not like he got a better scholarship to come here. He just chose here because he liked it better. And so we're going to be here. And maybe we can't always afford to come to games. And maybe we can't always afford to give financially. Many of you are on a very limited income. I understand that. And like, this is your entertainment, right? And you're so emotionally invested, even when you're not financially invested, you matter. You matter. And now more than ever. It's true. One of the things, talking to a friend of mine recently, we talked about Arkansas, because Arkansas came in here and just took us behind the woodshed. One of the things that I respect about Arkansas, they are as loyal as any fan base could ever be. Ever. Former player comes out and says something poor about the university. You're like, hey, forget that guy. Not hiring him, Because they're Razorbacks. It's kind of like being from Texas, man. They wear that stuff like a badge of honor, and I wish we did. Some of us do. And then, again, there's that self-loathing part of the fan base. It's like, we're so miserable, we got to make our Ole Miss friends laugh at the water cooler. I don't need you around. I wish we were more like LSU. When a Louisiana kid gets recruited by everybody in the country and the expectation is he's going to stay home and play at LSU. And you know why that is? It's not necessarily about money or pressure. It's an expectation that everybody is involved in that recruiting process in a very legal way. Not to say that LSU hadn't made some silly mistakes over the years, but everybody is involved. There is a true esprit de corps within that fan base. And so all of a sudden, you know, they go to a high school football game and they look up in the stands and everybody's wearing LSU shirt, you know, LSU shirts, right? And then it's jersey day on Friday and everybody walking the hallways wearing an LSU jersey. And you're like, hey, I think I might want to be a part of that too. That seems like a family. It seems like it's something bigger than myself. And so the expectation is to go to LSU. And everybody, every kid walking down the hallways are telling those kids, LSU, 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 LSU. They are. And their entire lives. And when I grow up, I'm going to play at LSU. That's the expectation. We got to change the expectation in Mississippi. Because we have some people within our own fan base that will tell their local youths, you know, if you want to go to the NFL, maybe you should go to Alabama. I mean, forget the fact that we got 21 players in the NFL right now. And it's like, hey, I love Mississippi State, and I really want it to be better, but I'm not going to help. That's frustrating, guys. That's frustrating. We should hope that every young athlete in the state of Mississippi, regardless of sport, dreams of one day playing at Mississippi State. And at the very least, considers that to be a viable option for them. And that starts with us. That's got nothing to do with marketing. That's got nothing to do with administration. That's got nothing to do with the product on the field. That's about us, because we are always going to be here. Through the rise, through the fall, through the mediocre times, the down times. And then you know what? We're going to have those high times again. And you know what? Some people are going to come back and like, hey, man, can we use a condo this weekend? We're thinking about coming up for a ball game. You know, where do we need to park? It's been a while since we've been here. And you know what? We're going to have the pride in saying, you know what? I can tell you, because I've been here all along. I never left. I'm a Bulldog through and through. I'm always going to be a Bulldog. I'm never going to be ashamed to be a Bulldog. And there's not a scoreboard out there that can ever change my pride in this university and what we're a part of. And for those of you that it can, you know, we'll welcome you back. But we might haze you a little bit too, you know, because we're going to win. We're going to win again. And I can't promise you it's going to happen this year. You know, we mentioned those Sylvester Croom teams. As you saw in November, all of a sudden they got a little bit better, you know. Maybe that happens for us too. But the thing that I know for sure is that nothing gets better if we're not solution-minded. And it's like sometimes we get so caught up in everything else. It's like, you know, Steve, I just need something to feel good about. I just need something to feel good about, you know. But the reality of it is this, is, you know, you heard the old adage, you know, success only comes before work in the dictionary. And that's kind of where we are. And sometimes that requires some work on our part. And not everybody's up for it. I get it. I understand it. So you come on back on the bandwagon, you know, next year when we're winning a little bit more, you know, kind of trending back in the right direction, we'll welcome you back. May not be with open arms, but we will welcome you back. All right, quickly, next segment of the show brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. 23 years of experience, coming up on 24 years of experience. How about that? You could entrust your mortgage in the hands of a lot of people, but I'm going to encourage you to do your business with Blair. A couple reasons why. Number one, he's a Bulldog. I like to keep business in the family when we can, because I know this, when Blair gets ready to donate to his favorite college team, it's your favorite college team, right? When Blair gets ready to buy season tickets, he's buying season tickets alongside you, right? And so let's keep it in the family whenever we can. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. And I'm not saying do business with Blair just because he's a Bulldog. You do business with Blair because he gets things done. Top 1% close ratio in the country back to back to back years. Yeah. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. The same level of service went with him. You get him directly when you call. It's not a call center. It's not a receptionist. Nothing against receptionists. We love receptionists. However, you and I both know sometimes those messages don't get delivered. And you know when you call or text Blair, you're getting Blair directly. You're not having to depend on somebody else to deliver your message. Well, you're looking for a game day condo, your first home or your next home, Blair Chandler is the mortgage loan originator for you. That's close at Blair.com. And we'll go ahead and jump in our campus bookmark segment here too. Coach Cheryl and I were there last week. It was so good to see so many of you too. I love getting a chance to visit with Jackie. I do. I love Coach. I love Miss Peggy. They're great people. Coach has been so incredibly good to me over the years. He's in Stark Villains and did a meet and greet. And we sold a bunch of books. And it's one of those things, too, anytime that you get a chance to kind of dip into the reservoir of the wealth of knowledge that Jackie Cheryl has, you grab a ladle and you start scooping, right? And it's great to catch up with Coach. And he's had a longstanding relationship with Campus Bookmart. I suspect if you asked him for his endorsement of where you should buy Mississippi State merchandise, I just about guarantee you Jackie Cheryl is going to tell you it's Miss Kathy Brown and Campus Bookmart. So when you're looking for Mississippi State apparel or knickknacks or gift items, graduation frames, whatever, they're going to be able to take care of you right there, Campus Bookmart. They start billing an institution. Go by and see them next time you're in town. If you can't, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. You may have heard the Mississippi State soccer team won the Southeastern Conference regular season championship last night. Absolute pandemonium, man. And I'm pumped. I am absolutely pumped. The wife mentioned the other day, she goes, "You're always so excited to go watch the girls play." And I am. And maybe it's because, like you, I need something to feel good about. But also, too, I love them. I love covering them. I love Coach Armstrong. I love Nick Zimmerman, Drago, everybody. I love being around them. And I love our players. And they love each other. And that, listen, no team is perfect, right? But there is some camaraderie on that team that I don't know exists on most teams. And you know, the record shows that. When you play for a cause or you play for a logo rather than playing for yourself, you're going to play harder because you know there's something bigger than yourself. And in this day of NIL and transfer portal and things like that, and there's some portal stuff in soccer, there's not the NIL stuff. And I think in many respects, one of the reasons that I've enjoyed this so much is it's back to college athletics at its purest form. Does it make sense? All the things you love about college athletics are exemplified by this Mississippi State soccer team. And I had a chance to visit with Coach Sam Purcell last night. He joined us at the airport. You know, that was super cool, right? Our women's tennis coach was there too. There's a lot there, a lot going on. Zach Selman, Tom Green, Joey was there. It was great. And everybody was happy. It's like, you know, hey, we didn't see this coming. Your Bulldogs are 15-1 overall and still have only allowed 3 goals on the year. And one of the staffers on our soccer, you know, off the field staff told me they're running the numbers and they just want to double check. But it appears right now your Mississippi State Bulldogs, as it stands today, has the greatest goals against average in the history of the Southeastern Conference. We talk about history. It's not just Mississippi State history. It's SEC history. Ladies are now 9-0 after last night's 2-0 win over Texas A&M. And A&M's a good team. They're fighting to get in the tournament. Not a great team. They're a good team. It was a scoreless tie at the break, and then we kind of began to kind of open things up a little bit. And we are a different squad with Macy Hodge on the field. I love Macy Hodge. My favorite player. I told James Armstrong, I'm a Macy Hodge super fan because she plays with so much effort. And I had a chance to write her story today. And she's so incredibly grateful. And that's something, again, that makes it even more fun, right? Because, you know, like, hey, these parents don't get to read a lot of stories about their kids, you know, because they don't play a marquee sport. And then they're part of a historic run here. And so all of a sudden, there are stories written about their daughters. And so, yeah, they can go share that on Facebook, and they can email it to everybody in the family. And, you know, those things are important, man. They are. It's part of the experience. But, yeah, it all got started. You know, Allie Perry, who is the NIL ambassador for True Rest Float Spa here in Starkville, we're so proud of her and to be affiliated with her. That shot that she hit to open the scoring was a near-perfect shot because it had so much top in on it. It's ascending, right? And so it wasn't a shot that the keeper could get to. It's beyond her reach, and then next thing you know, it kind of knuckles in under the crossbar. It's 1-0. And then give A&M some credit. You know, like, hey, we got to pick it up here. And our defense had to stand tall. And then lo and behold, we get a quick restart after a foul call. And we're able to get going, and then Elma Caslin puts one in. I believe it's her first goal as a collegiate soccer player. And it proved that we could relax a little bit. 11 minutes left, right? And we feel like, okay, we're going to get out of here without a draw. Had we had a draw last night, because Arkansas played Ole Miss, and that's a guaranteed win, and they won 5-0, we would be tied with Arkansas. And having to win or draw against South Carolina to win the SEC championship. Well, now that game doesn't mean anything when it comes to the SEC standings for us. It does mean a little something for South Carolina. We're going to get their best effort. And our coaching staff is going to have to pull these ladies out of the clouds. Now, one thing I can tell you after speaking to some of our players last night, they want to go undefeated in SEC play. They absolutely want to go undefeated in SEC play. They're not just happy going 9-0. They want to go 10-0. And I'd love to play Auburn in the tournament. Auburn's a great team, too. Let's play them in the SEC tournament so we can check that box, too. But, again, if you are in the greater Columbia, South Carolina area on Wednesday, let me encourage you to get out and go watch that game. Should be a very competitive game, but also you could be a part of history. Mississippi State, a 10-0 conference record. And every game that we win just adds to a program record. We're 15-1. It was a big deal when we got to 13. We've only done that one time in our history. Now we're two games over. We're setting standards that may never be broken again. And we're going out on the road, and we're beating tournament teams in their own backyard. It's impressive, man. It is. So let's take a quick look how it all breaks down for us. So Mississippi State is now the top overall seed in the SEC tournament. We will play match 7 of the SEC tournament on Tuesday, November the 5th. That's going to be a 4:30 kick against the winner of the 8-9 matchup. And at this point, we don't know for sure who that's going to be. Part of the deal, you know, they'll flesh this thing out. And, you know, we still got a couple of games left to play this week, not just us, but Tennessee, Florida has a game. Another game that had to be postponed due to weather. But, you know, looking at the standings, man, it's a beautiful thing, man, to see the Mississippi State Bulldogs up top with 27 conference points. And we could get to 30, which would be a record that could never be broken unless we add more conference games. It's impressive. And again, 12 games in a row. And now your Bulldogs, according to Top Drawer Soccer, number 1 in the country. We'll see what happens tomorrow in that poll around 2 o'clock. The coaches poll may come out and we may be number 1, be a consensus number 1 team. Guys, we are a program that had zero tradition. And that's not to be disrespectful to the players that came before these because they have laid the foundation for what we now enjoy. But until James Armstrong got here, nobody really took Mississippi State soccer very seriously. We had a couple good years here and there, but we no longer just have a team. We have a program. And many of you are getting a great deal of enjoyment out of this. So your number two seed is going to be Arkansas. Nobody can catch them. South Carolina is a point behind Texas. Now, your top four get the bye, right? And so as it stands right now, South Carolina would be the four. However, if they could beat us, they would leapfrog Texas and be the number three seed. So they're trying to play their way into a higher seed, not to mention two. Mississippi State's a very high RPI team, and so that would help them with the selection committee. So South Carolina got a lot to play for. Your Bulldogs have a lot to play for, too. You think about this win, and you might be in a position to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. I suspect when the next committee meeting comes out, we're probably two or three. I think Duke had a win and a draw last week, and Wake Forest had a win and a loss. They lose yesterday to Duke 2-0. I think Duke is probably your number one seed, and we're probably two. But, again, we have some things to play for, and not just the pride of winning that 10th conference game, but because of the fact we're now jockeying for position. And that's a question James Armstrong's got to answer next week. I mean, how deep do we want to go in the SEC tournament? Do we rest some of our stars and play some young people? And then, hey, if we get a win, then maybe bring some people back. But you got to get some rest. And what matters most now for us is not about winning a conference tournament. We already have the hardware. The best team in the conference is the Mississippi State Bulldogs. That's what the season has fleshed out. And now we have bigger dreams to go win an AFL championship. Are we capable of doing it? Yes. Will we do it? Remains to be seen. Depends on a draw. Depends on staying healthy. And, we've lost some players in recent weeks due to injury. But it was very impressive last night to go to the airport and see, the young ladies that are redshirting or didn't make the travel squad. Once that plane door opened, they did not need the green light to go run and celebrate with their teammates. And while those young ladies may have not been on the field or on the trip, they're a huge part of this program because they make the rest of this team better every day in practice. And they're your future stars at Mississippi State. All right, look at the fifth seed right now, Auburn and Vanderbilt. I'd have to dig a little bit deeper to see if these two teams played, to see if there's a tiebreaker. But both of them have 16 points. And I'm not going to go check. I don't care enough to go check, right? I mean, they're behind us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Georgia and Kentucky are tied with 13 points. That's 7 and 8. And then Alabama is at 11. And, this time last year, Alabama was something else, man. And then LSU, Texas A&M right there together, we'll see. But there's going to be some good teams on the back end of this tournament. And, of course, you play, take a day off, play. So there's a lot that's going to happen next week. And if you are in the greater Pensacola area, we encourage you to go. If we make it to the championship game, I may run down there. You never know. You may see me. So, there are two games this week, Tennessee at Florida. That's going to be 6 p.m. Central. And then we're going to be playing South Carolina at the same time. 6 p.m. Central, so 7 p.m. Eastern. And again, if you are within the sound of my voice and live in the greater South Carolina area, go up there and raise some sane, right? Go out there, bring some cowbells if they'll let you, and if they don't, bring those horns and all that good stuff and make a bunch of racket and rep the brand and go out there and cheer for our ladies. I mean, how often do you get a chance to go and cheer for a piece of history? It's impressive, man. It is. But I love this team, and I love what we have built. And we need to do what we need to do to keep James Armstrong. I mean, obviously, I don't think he loves it here, but this guy may be your National Coach of the Year. Certainly going to be your SEC Coach of the Year. Probably will be a unanimous selection in that respect. And so Wednesday, we'll look at this again, kind of preview a little bit. But, it's by and large – this has been one of those things, and I said it maybe the second time I watched them play in person. When I went out to the pitch, and I wrote an article about it too, something special is happening. Just being around them, there is this infectious quality that makes them easy to cheer for. It's very reminiscent to me of like the women's basketball run or Vic, you know, with Victoria and Tierra McCowan, and, you know, it was so great, right? And that's kind of how this feels. It's like we didn't realize that we were going to love it because, again, we're cheering for the logo. These are Mississippi State Bulldogs out there on the field. And they deserve our respect. They deserve our coverage. And they deserve your support. And I'm encouraging you to hit up Campus Bookmart and get your SEC championship soccer shirt and wear that thing with pride. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We're going to be staying there here in a few weeks. We can't wait. Cannot wait. I think my wife is the most excited about it, right? Because you get everybody in there under one roof. You got plenty of room, kind of spread out. And you're not really hosting, right? You're staying too. Because, you know, it's great getting everybody home, and that's one of those qualities about mom, right? You want to cook. You want to get all the clean linens put on the beds and that kind of stuff. So there's some stress and anxiety that kind of goes along with the caretaker. But isn't it nice to take some time together, just kind of get away? We're looking forward to that. Maybe you want to get away with your family or your friends, maybe your work colleagues. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, some booking options are going to pop up. You're going to see Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you 10% on your stay. It's promo code BSR10, the number 10, BSR10, 10% off your stay. Also, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate, and you can just kind of look through all the pictures and peruse through all the amenities that are available to you and your guests, that full-service kitchen, the wet bar, fire pit area out back, that huge back porch area. I can't oversell it. It's just so relaxing. It is. Five bedrooms, two baths, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're coming for a ball game weekend, you can do your tailgating right there and not have to carry all that equipment back and forth to campus, right? I mean, sometimes you just need to take a break from all that. And maybe you're getting up in age, like, hey, it's beginning to be too much, but we want to have a special time. You know, we get everybody together, and it's so nice to have the family together. Bring your family together, whether it's your birth family or a chosen family, at a great stay at the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right, let's take a quick look back at the weekend that was in football. I got beat up on some spreads, man. Not going to lie. I had a couple games that surprised me. Not so much the winners, but you know, there were some teams that I thought would win that didn't, and some ones I thought would win handily that didn't as well. Texas and Vanderbilt. Man, what else can you say about Vandy? Guys, 27-24. Texas had to survive that game. Quinn Ewers, 288 yards passing in that game. Pretty good game for him. But, you know, is Vanderbilt the best story in the SEC? Maybe. I think we could get behind that. But, yeah, again, Texas wins, but it wasn't impressive. And, again, you know, Vanderbilt's kind of making people earn it. I gave them no chance to win that game. And I still believe they're going to get that sixth win and get to a bowl game. LSU at A&M, man, the interception changed everything. Garrett Nussmeier threw for 405 yards. Man, had a couple of picks, man, that just absolutely changed everything. A&M now, your leaders in the Southeastern Conference, controlling their own destiny to get to the SEC championship game. Yeah, I mean, we're not in the West anymore, but think about that for a second, you know. Another school from the old SEC West getting a chance to go to Atlanta. I mean, there are some among us that have never had that opportunity. But big win for A&M, 38-23. Missouri and Alabama, I really felt this coming. And again, I picked LSU, felt that coming too, but that's the thing, you never know week to week how this league's going to play out. But I really felt like Alabama would have like a reckoning, right? They've had a couple of games, and I really felt like, you know, DeBoer is such a good coach. They're going to have a game like this where things kind of come together. And listen, they weren't great offensively. Jalen Milroe is 215 yards, and they're still kind of handicapped by him. Great athlete, but he's kind of a one-read quarterback. But impressive win over Missouri. 34-0. And again, I think we're starting to see the bloom come off the rose for Missouri. They were a great story in the league last year, and they've begun to fade here as of late. And again, A&M's the one that kind of cracked the code on them. Oklahoma and Ole Miss, I really thought Ole Miss would boat race Oklahoma. I did. Give Oklahoma some credit. They only scored 14 points, but they had the lead at the half. And then Ole Miss exerted themselves in the second half and put the thing away. A lot of people upset on the Ole Miss side of things. I think many of them felt like me is, okay, we can't, this is our get-right week, right? We'll get right this week and be ready for what's down the stretch. And it was kind of an unimpressive win, but it is a win. Regardless, they lost a spot in the coaches' poll and dropped to 19th, but at 18, and again, they were a loss away from probably dropping out of everything. Or you know what happened with the Arkansas-Mississippi State game. Give Taylor and Green a lot of credit. We may have underestimated him. 314 yards. Braylon Russell ran for 175 yards. And what can you say? When they cut him up a little bit and trim him up, that guy's going to be absolute unshirted hell in his league. Auburn and Kentucky. Kentucky had the 10-0 lead, and then Auburn storms back in the second half to win. What can you say about Jarquez Hunter? 278 yards, one of the best rushing games in the history of Auburn football, and that's saying a lot. You know, that's the Cadillac Williams, Bo Jackson, Brent Fullwood school. And when you're mentioned in connection with those big names, there's a lot to be said for that. So that's the weekend it was. Let's take a quick look ahead. We won't pick the games, but just to kind of give you some preparation, give you a little bit something to chew on. That early matchup game, I'm so excited about this, right? Ole Miss is at Arkansas. And again, Ole Miss favored by 7 in this game. But remember their history. They have not played well in Fayetteville. For some reason, Arkansas has kind of had their number. And now all of a sudden, like last week, you're kind of rooting against Braylon Russell. You're rooting for him now. And teams that have given Ole Miss trouble are teams that can run the football. Arkansas can run the football. They want to run the football. They weren't able to run it against LSU, and we really thought without Jaquan and Jackson, they would be in a bad place. Here we are. Now, some of that's got to do with our ineptitude on defense, too. But I think Arkansas is going to have a lot of confidence. And even though it's 11 a.m. game, I think there's going to be a lot of people there. They'll turn out. Obviously, Arkansas in a great position to get bowl eligible with a non-conference game remaining. But they could get a win this weekend. That's going to be – I'm telling you, the Ole Miss psyche seems to be a little bit fragile. The Arkansas psyche seems to be really good, and they're playing at home. The team that's ascending against a team that's kind of stumbled a little bit. A week ago, we thought maybe Arkansas was – you know, after the loss to LSU, maybe they've been exposed a little bit. Now Jaquan Jackson's out. Well, these guys are done. They killed us. You give them all the credit in the world. They outcoached us. They outplayed us. They out-executed us in every aspect. Vanderbilt's at Auburn. That game got an awful lot more interesting, didn't it? Really, really interesting game now. And, you know, Hugh Freeze had some losses against Vanderbilt when he was at Ole Miss. I mean, you know what a great rivalry that was within this league. It's a shame it had to end. That'll be something to think about. Can this Vanderbilt offense find a way to score enough and kind of slow down the run a little bit? And I think Clark Lee and those guys defensively will have a plan to kind of shunt Jarquez Hunter down and put the game in Peyton Thorne's lap. So we'll see. Our old nemesis, the Black Bears from Maine, will be at Oklahoma. No further comment needed. Florida is at Georgia. Georgia favored by 17 in Jacksonville. It's not at Georgia. They just happen to be the home team this year. It's going to be at Everbank Stadium. Did you see Logan Cook's 73-yard punt? Ridiculous that is. And as I tweeted out, it's a kid raised on Ward's Hamburgers, man. Georgia by 17. That's going to be interesting. Do we pick them to cover? We pick them to win, but will they cover? Mississippi State now, the line 18.5 points against UMass. They got a mobile quarterback too. I expect State to win, but can the Bulldogs cover? Texas A&M is in South Carolina. They're a road favorite, now ranked 10th in the country. Favored by 2.5 at South Carolina, and it's a night game at Williams-Brice. South Carolina tends to play better at night. A lot of teams do. Could be awfully interesting. And again, you start thinking about this A&M team and their schedule, kind of what lies ahead here. And A&M's anxiety about the year may be behind them. Mike Elko's done a great job. I mean, they're 7-1. They've won 7 games in a row. And you start looking at the offensive numbers. I mean, your goodness, 41 points against Missouri, 34 against Mississippi State, 38 against LSU. So now all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, they were pretty good defensively early on, but now all of a sudden, they're beginning to kind of find the gas pedal. And here's what's left. At South Carolina, we'll see how that goes. New Mexico State, that's a dub. Then they go to Auburn, and then Texas comes to Kyle Field, a game that some people never wanted to play again. And so when you look at these four games, there's a good chance that A&M is favored to win all of them. Of course, the rivalry game is going to be interesting. Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee has dominated this series over the years. Kentucky has found some success in recent years, but Tennessee is a 16.5-point favorite in this game. In Knoxville, that's a 6:45 game. And so you should have a chance to watch Arkansas and Ole Miss out of the tailgate, show up at Davis-Wade Stadium, watch the Bulldogs win, and then get back to the tailgate or back to the hotel and watch a couple of good games. Certainly one good game. A&M and South Carolina could be awfully interesting. But I think this is a very, very interesting week, and every week has been. But I think it's a week that probably favors the home team with one exception. Maybe two. We'll see how things go. Hey, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and order your copy of The Dude. We are going to run out of books before Christmas. The online orders continue to come. Now, if you have already ordered, and I know, again, we had thousands of books to process, as you can imagine, I'm told that the last of those are going out tomorrow. And then we'll pretty much be caught up, and we'll try to get you taken care of, you know, within a couple of days of the order. I don't handle shipping. Some of you have reached out to me. When you contact me, I've got to go back and contact them. And so the best bet is to, you know, hit the Contact Us link on the website. And please be patient even with that. It's not like there's a bank of operators sitting there waiting for your call or waiting for your email. And then once they get it, they have to go kind of research and look it up. And we had a couple people today. It's like, hey, where's my book? And they went and checked. And then by the time that person got home, it was in the mailbox. And we're starting to see a lot of pictures and things that are posted. So if you hadn't got your book yet, rest assured it's on the way. If you pre-ordered and for some reason you don't have it by the weekend, then hit me up and I will do my best to communicate. You know, need your order number and things like that. We'll see if we can get to the bottom of it. I will be sure that that information gets communicated to our executive vice president of distribution. We'll get that taken care of for you. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Got a few soccer players are coming these days, right? That's cool too. Nice to be able to help them. I think it's one of those things that will help them on the pitch too. In these many games we have to play here, give them the opportunity to get some rest and recovery. You need some rest and recovery in your life, even though you're not a student athlete, or maybe you are. But and sometimes you just need a mental break. It's true. Whether you got chronic pain or anxiety in your life, or you just need some peace and quiet, let us assist you with that. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak to my wife directly, or you can visit us at social media, True Rest of Starkville. Download the True Rest app. You can book today. Let's get out of here. I appreciate you guys' support. Thanks to everybody that buys the book, subscribes to the website, listens to the show. We're all in this thing together. And sometimes it gets a little bit contentious. It does. It doesn't mean that we don't love Mississippi State. There are some people, of course, they just express their disappointment and, you know, in a way that may be a little more obnoxious than others. But remember, it all comes from a good place. We're all Bulldogs, and we got to give each other a little bit of room to kind of be ourselves as we navigate through a very challenging year. But hopefully, you know, men's and women's basketball will give us a lot to cheer about this fall and winter. And then we'll get into baseball season and softball season. Before we get into all that, too, we got some pretty special dates ahead with women's soccer. And my hope is, if you haven't watched a game, that you will, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Even if you don't know the game, you know Mississippi State, you love Mississippi State. So please throw some support behind those ladies. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.